إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله، وأشهد أنه قد بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وجاهد في سبيل الله حق جهاده حتى أتاه الله اليقين. الحمد لله رب العالمين. We are on the 10th day of the blessed month of Ramadan. And we are so blessed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us opportunity to live and inshaAllah to fast. And I hope Allah will accept our siyam and our qiyam inshaAllah. What I want to talk about today is just some reflection about the month of Ramadan inshaAllah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He ordained the fasting on us, He ordained it as an act of mercy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. That means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordained on us and ordered us to fast, we may acquire a piety. We need to understand some terminology so that it help us to understand the concept and what's behind it. The concept, the word fast, it means abstain. Stop doing or saying something to accomplish a goal. You were doing something and you stopped it to accomplish a goal. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. What is the taqwa? A taqwa is piety. It is the piety. What does the piety mean? Piety basically means you have khashya. Khashya, it means you have enough fear in your heart from Allah that you will not dare to disobey Him. And you have enough love motivate you to obey Him. You want to please Him. You want to have both. Once you have both, you have the khashya. And I hope inshaAllah we all will have the khashya. The goal of fasting is taqwa. This taqwa. When you look at the Holy Quran, you will find out that taqwa or al-muttaqeen, they are a category of people. And they are having a very special treatment. They are not prophets. They are not messengers. But they are very, very special. Look at the word taqwa, you will see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala favored them. إن الله يحب المتقين إن الله يحب الذين اتقوا. You will see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in favor of those people. So the fast, the purpose of fast to help us to do that. Okay, can we acquire what stopping us or what the act of mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the month of Ramadan to help us to get back on the track as long as we all want to be muttaqeen. But why we are not muttaqeen? What's stopping us from being that? Who doesn't want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with Him? Who doesn't want in the hereafter to be inshaAllah among the blessed one and the one who's going to go to the paradise? What's stopping us? What making us change our direction? The only thing in changing us our direction is the act of disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-ma'asi. The act of disobedience. We need to know in the act of disobedience how they are in Sharia, how they are classified. Basically, in Sharia, they got classified to four major categories. Each one of those categories lead to the other. After you finish one, it's going to lead to the second, and the second will lead to the third, and the third, wal'iyazu billah, could lead to the fourth. And the fourth and the worst one is the category where is wal'iyazu billah fir'aun wa haman, they were in it. If you look at the type of crime and disobedience they did, it is different. When you look at the first and the most common one category that it gonna, which is you and I and all, we all suffering from it, is we disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of the need of the biological need and because of the stomach need. That's why in the bottom line, and even sometimes we express that by saying, I gotta live. I got to do what I have to do. To do what? This temptation for surviving, it makes you sometimes to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here it comes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes as act of mercy, says, okay, as long as each one of those categories lead to the other, and the first one is the common one, I am going to help you on the, to control the first one. So you're going to, once you are, what is the fasting is all about? Or what is the meaning of fasting? Like I said, abstain. But in Sharia, what it means? It means abstaining from food and drink and sexual behavior from the dawn to the sunset as an act of worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So fasting then, look at it, abstaining from what? Food and drink. That is the stomach need. And the relationship, and that's the biological relationship. You are fasting from those three. That means you are controlling them instead of they control you. You see, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helping you by ordaining on you the fast so you can control them in the state that they control you, so you can go right back on the track. Before I leave this point, look at the generosity, the kindness, the beauty of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no one single training course that I know of that you don't pay for. Any training course you go to, anything, it is just about impossible to find out a training course for free. The only training course that you go to and you get paid to is the fasting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taking you to that training course and saying, guess what? I'm going to pay you. You do it, I will pay you. I'm training you and I'm paying you. I'm not only paying you, but I'm doubling and tripling 10 times what I pay you usually for what you do usually. If you do Qiyam al-Layl, or you do recitation of the Quran, or you do Sadaqah, or you do anything, it will be multiplied, and Allah multiply to whomever He wants as much as He wants. You see the generosity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You see the act, how it is merciful? So the act of mercy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed upon us. And month of Ramadan is a special month in the history of the mankind. The beginning of the message of Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was in the month of Ramadan. The beginning of the message of al-Masih Isa ibn Maryam, it was in the month of Ramadan. The beginning of the message of Musa, it was in the month of Ramadan. So the beginning of all the revealed religion, it was in the month of Ramadan. So the month of Ramadan has a special status. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordained on us, He is giving us a very strong head start to catch up. And at the same time, to help us to gain control again over our faculties and all those elements that take us away from taqwa. What kind of fasting we have? We have what is called two major types of fasting. The first one is the body fasting. And that fasting, we all know about it. And we all the condition and what break it and what is not and when it is that. All that is very clear. It is abstaining from food and drink and sexual behavior from the dawn till the sunset in the month of Ramadan we are talking about. But there is another one, which is it's supposed to be the first one will trigger the second one, which is the what it called the ethical fasting. Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says what? If somebody aggravates you in the month of Ramadan, say what? Inni sa'im, inni sa'im. What kind of a fasting is this? That is akhlaq fasting, ethics fasting, not body fasting. Usually you will respond to somebody aggravate you, but in the month of Ramadan you say inni sa'im, I am fasting. That means you are in a state of akhlaq fasting. And in akhlaq fasting there are few categories. The first one, the fast of your parts, the body parts. the fast of your hand, that it will never touch forbidden. The fast of your legs will never walk to forbidden. The fast of your tongue will never say forbidden. The fast of your eyes will never see forbidden. The fast of your ears will never see for, hear forbidden. Who will do that fasting for you? No one can do it for you but you. And the first one is helping you. Why? Because he is putting you in alert. And the second type is fastun nafs. Siyamun nafs. That means your soul. That fasting, which is you are responding and controlling to the temptation. When you fast from it, you say what? No. Let me look at it this way. No one that I know of, I might be wrong on that conclusion. No one has challenged the human nature and win. Nature gonna win you. Don't worry about it. Spend as much effort you want, you will never go. But how you can change it? You cannot conquer your nature. The only time you can conquer your nature is when you are dead. But what is required is what? You control it and direct it. It is like going like a flood. Don't stand in front of it, but redirect it. Make a different channels for it. And that's what the akhlaq is all about, is to make a different channel to those nature, to those elements in your nature. So a nafs, there is a lot of things you want. Some of them they are good, some of them they are forbidden. But what you going to do when you carve, you want something forbidden? What you say or what you going to do? You're going to stop and say, no. Fasting here means what? Fasting, you are in a state of alert. You are alert. You are in a state of control. You can be honest with yourself. You can say, do you want it? Yes, I do. Does it worth it? No, it doesn't. I am not going to do it. That's the only time you can control it. But if you're going to keep opposing, denying, and not going to go away. And if you succeed one time, you are not going to succeed the next. And if you succeed 10 times, and we have in the, when you study in the Sunnah of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a lot of people turn it around. And even in the Holy Quran, it says what it meant, كَالَّتِي نَقَضَتْ غَزْلَهَا مَنْ بَعْدَ قُوَّةِ, that means kept forcing, and after that, all of a sudden, one time, took what you are doing. Why? Because you did not face your nature. You did not handle your nature. Even when you get to something like that, try it one time. Do you want it? Yeah, I want it. Yes, I want it. Does it worth it? No, it doesn't. I am not going to do it. See what's going to happen between you and between your nafs. Your shaitan going to go away. Because you decided this time. Who decided for you? No one. Who decided? No one. You said, by my choice, I'm not going to do it. And that is an act of fasting. And the third and the fourth act, type of fasting, which is, that's the ultimate fasting. That is the highest level of fasting. And I hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant it to all of us. It's the fast of the heart. The fast of the heart, it means that heart now, it came pure enough that it cannot love any but other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدَّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. Your heart is very honest. And he said it from the beginning, I cannot have two in it. Either yourself or somebody else. Either you are with yourself, and in this case we all know the term for it, selfish. Or you take yourself out and you allow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be in your heart. That means there is no place for you. There is only Allah in your heart. You do what pleases Allah, not what pleases you. You stop what Allah wants you to stop, not what you want to stop. You work, قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Everything I do is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at beautiful demonstration to that type. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. وَإِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ قَالْ أَسْلَمْتُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. In the beginning, since he was a child, he was already in the monotheism, and he is already believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he already went through all of these things and challenging to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in that stage, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanna Ibrahim to know, and also we all know that there is a level exists where there are some people, the only thing they have in their heart is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ قَالَ أَسْلَمْتُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. There is nothing, there is no more Ibrahim here. There is no more to what Ibrahim wants or what Ibrahim doesn't want. It doesn't make any difference what he wants or what he doesn't want. What Allah wants is what he wants. And what's he going to go through? And what he going to go about? We need to understand very well. Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, there are a lot of people, all they get out of their fasting is the hunger and the thirst. And Allah has no need for their fasting. The fasting, the physical or the body fasting and the ethical fasting, the akhlaq fasting, they must go together. They are not accepted without each other. It is these two authenticate a coin called taqwa. A taqwa gonna have to be changing the control in the akhlaq and control in the body. So both of them, they have to be there. We have to be very careful. We all, including me, and I'm just on my way in, I got angry. May Allah forgive me. Traffic and whatever. We all get angry. But we all require to control anger. And it just happened, it's not going to be a button that you push and you end up those bad habits. It's not going to happen. You have to change. And we have to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us. We're going to fall 10 times and we're going to succeed one. And that's what jihad is all about. Trying and keep trying and keep trying and keep trying till you succeed. Realistically, that's what's going to happen and that's what's going to take place. Month of Ramadan is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Gifted to help us to go right back to taqwa and to stay on the taqwa. We are on the 10th days now in the month of Ramadan. That means one third is already passed. I hope inshallah Allah will accept every and single minute of our taqwa in it. Inshallah. The taqwa, that it is the goal. Like I said in the definition, it is the khashyat Allah, it is the fear that will motivate you, the fear that will stop you from doing wrong, and the love that will motivate you to do right. And it has a component. The first to do it or to have the taqwa, the requirement for taqwa, is to work al-amal bil-tanzeel. Apply what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala order you to do. The Holy Quran is your user guide. Allah did not send the Quran in the month of Quran, for the month of Ramadan, to only be read in the Quran in the month of Ramadan. The Quran should be in your hand every single day. It is your user guide. How to live. It's simple. The Quran is how to live. So you have to understand what's in it. You have to understand what Allah made wrong and made forbidden, and you forbid that. And what He made lawful, and He ordered you to do, and you do. But if you think you're going to go your way, there is no such a thing called my way and religious way. Either it is only one way. Either it is applying the religion in your way and inshallah you will be safe, or otherwise you are compromising and you are taking a lot of unnecessary chances. The second element of taqwa, brother, never be under the impression that anything happening in your life now, yesterday or tomorrow, if there is a tomorrow for you, it is by coincidence. Nothing. كل شيء لديه بمقدار. Everything is very well calculated. And I can assure you, none of us having the same circumstances like the one sitting next to you now. None of us having the same set of problems. Even if we are in the same place, breathing the same air, and doing the same thing today, which is listening to the khutbah, and inshallah we will pray together. But everyone got his own view and got his own worldlet. Never been under the impression that what you have never meant it to be. No, it meant it to be. Maybe you like it, maybe you don't. That's irrelevant. You like it or you don't, that's irrelevant. What is more important is, do you know how to use what you got or not? If you strongly believe that all the act of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your life, it is an act of mercy. If you what you like, maybe you can realize the mercy of Allah in it. And what you don't like, there is a hidden mercy in it. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanna punish you, who gonna stop him? And why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gonna seek revenge or aggravate you? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to be the best. سَخَّرَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. He made everything in that universe under your convenience. Why? Who asked him to do that? كَتَبَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ الرَّحْمَةِ. Allah decided to treat you with mercy. So, accept what Allah gave you and see the hidden mercy in it. And learn the skill to use what you got. That is the most important thing of taqwa. Use what you got. A hardship or prosperity, it doesn't matter. The most important thing is how to use it. Getting ready to leave. We all know we are dying. We all know that the minute that passed will never come back again. But we don't feel it. We all having amani. Amani, that means hoping in something that maybe will never happen. Why we behave as if we're going to live ever forever? Yeah, we're going to die someday. Who told you that you are not dying now? Right this second, you finished already. You are finishing the last provision of air available to you. You already ate the last meal. You already drank the last sip of water that Allah already decided for you. Why you take life as if it is yours? Why we behave this way? That's from shaitan. If he cannot make you disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, gonna make you go to a state of ghafla, suspend. You are in a state of suspend. How you know you are in a state of suspend? Very easy. There is one single measure. If you have it in your life, wake up real quick. That's like a blood pressure, a silent killer. Usually in the blood pressure, you don't see the damage till after it happened. But before that, you never happen. You never know it. That is also in al-ghafla, is worse than this, because it kills your iman. How you know that if you have a ghafla or you don't? Look at yourself. If you repeat what you do from one day to another, you are right in the middle of it. If you are not, Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you are not in increase, you are in decrease. You will never be in the same status again. So if you are not doing anything and you are keep repeating routine, what is that routine is doing to you? Killing your iman. It's going to have to be increased every day, even if it is an ayah, even if it is one step, something that you do, you stop. It's going to have to be some kind of improvement somewhere in the 24/7. Every single day, something new is going to have to be added. If you are going through the same routine, the same routine, the same routine, you got a problem. Wake up. And the worst of that, if we are over-occupied, but other issues that is not related to us. If you did not come with it, and you are not going to take it with you, don't worry about it. Deal with it, but don't worry about it. If you came to that world without it, and you're going to leave that world without it, why you worry about it? You didn't come with it, and you are not going to leave with it. Whatever that is, handle it. Deal with it. But don't let it control you. Don't let it over-occupy your mind and occupy your soul. And over-occupy your schedule. And make you feel sorry for yourself. How come these things happening to me? Or I could have and I should have. And all of that stuff. Look at it this way. You didn't come with it. You are not going to take it with you. Don't worry about it. Just deal with it the way that you're supposed to. And that's what the month of Ramadan is all about. Let us seek from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiveness and guidance.
Amen.
And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless our gathering.
Amen.
إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله وأشهد أنه قد بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وجاهد في سبيل الله حق جهاده حتى أتاه الله اليقين. الحمد لله. Whatever left in the month of Ramadan, Alhamdulillah, still 2/3. You're going to have a work plan. How to get the best out of the month of Ramadan. The first thing that you need to do, make sure that you are securing the 5 prayers. The 5 prayers is not a subject of discussion. And when I come, I say subject of discussion, that's for you and for your family. I know for a fact mothers wake up their children because they did not have their supper. Make sure that your household, they will do the 5 prayers. And the only way to persuade them, love them, hug them, pray with them. Even if they are 99 years old. Let everybody know. That attitude is not tolerant. We don't tolerate that. That's a zero tolerance. Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, حَسْبُ مْرِئٍ مِنَ الذَّنْبِ أَنْ يُضِيعَ مَنْ يَعُولِ. There is no sin bigger than you lead whomever you are responsible for to stray. 5 prayers a day is not a subject of discussion of in the Muslim house. Give it what it takes, but see it done. And you have the hub for that, you have the starting point for that, you have the place where you can start from it, right in the month of Ramadan. Quran, Like I said, the Quran is our user guide. Imagine you behaving in your job without reading your user guide. Imagine that you are trying to assemble a piece of whatever furniture or equipment, and you don't have a catalog and you don't have a user guide, and you don't have a technical background. Doesn't matter. That has nothing to do with being smart or not smart, with good intention or bad intention. That has nothing to do with it. Human being, wanna please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your user guide is the Quran. Do what the Quran say and forbid what the Quran said, inshallah, you will be safe. Inshallah, by His grace. Revive and make a point to revive the sunnah of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the month of Ramadan. Revive this sunnah. See what Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do in the month of Ramadan. And do it. And start it. And be sincere about it. And I can tell you this. Wallahi, I don't know anyone have Allah in his heart and wanted to have to do something right by himself or his family or his community or anybody, and Allah did not make his to prosper and succeed. A lot of obstacles, a lot of challenges, a lot of redirection. But the bottom line, you cannot lose. You will never lose. So you have a problem with your family, who said who doesn't? That's the name of the game. But how is that going to be solved? Have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your heart. Try to do good. And start it and see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless you. Supplication. Till you die. One of the most powerful tools that you have. Allah granted for you. Like 911. And not 911. But a special 911. Imagine that you have a law enforcement only waiting for your call, 911. That is the dua, the supplication. What gonna make for your shortcoming is dua. What gonna make for your mistakes, the dua. What gonna make for raising your grade is a dua. Dua, that's including istighfar and including asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for blessing and ask Allah for help and beg Allah for mercy. A dua is one of the most effective tools. Never drop it from your hand. Never drop it from your hand. And I'm not going to make the khutbah is longer than that, but I want to share something with you. The shaitan come to you from 4 directions, but you have 6. If you look at it, you and I have 6 directions, but the shaitan comes only from 4. The shaitan comes first. What are the 6? The 6, they are right, left, front, back, top, and under. That's a 6. The shaitan comes from right, left, front, and back. But when it comes to under and top, can't. And even he said, I will come from the right, I will come from the left, I will do this and I will do that. But why those? Because when you are in under, that means you are in a state of sujood, you are the closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this case, Allah said, between me and my servant, no one. That's including the shaitan. When you make sujood and you say, Ya Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, you and me, none one else. And when you raise your hand for the top and say, Ya Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is between me and between you, no one to interfere. And nothing in between. No one come between us. So when you are in a state of sujood, shaitan cannot come. And when you are in a state of dua, shaitan cannot come. So, akthiru in the month of Ramadan. Make as much as you can from sujood and make as much as you can from dua. There is one more question lifted you need to answer. And no one going to answer that question for you but you. If the month of Ramadan to you is a month or it is a state? Is it a month going to finish after 20 years, days? Or it is a state that you're going to carry with you for the rest of your life? You proved that you can do a lot of things in the month of Ramadan you usually don't do the rest of the year. You proved it. You proved it. You are not going to try to fail and succeed and to find out if you can do it or not. You already did it. The question now you're having, can you keep on going or not? The month of Ramadan about building a habit for the rest of your life. You started Taraweeh in the month of Ramadan. Why we don't continue? You started Quran. Why we don't continue? You started Zikr. Why we continue? You start doing a lot of Salat al-Rahim. Why don't we continue? Why? What is the difference? Ramadan is a starting point, or Ramadan is a month you do ceremonies and rituals in it? The answer to that is up to you. No one can answer the question for you. It depends on you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all taqwa and accept our siyam and accept our qiyam and help us to be a better believer inshaAllah ta'ala and to be among the winner in the day of judgment inshaAllah. Ibadallah, قولوا لا إله إلا الله تفلحوا عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون وأقم الصلاة.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الشر